Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Professional Women Entrepreneurs Empowerment Radio. This is your host, Dr. Ramona Holly Major, a.k.a. the co-pilot, joining you this evening. Thank you for tuning in for Taxi Into Position Radio Show this evening. You've been given your boarding pass, so let's get ready for takeoff. I am so excited to jump right in. We have our special guest with us this evening. We have Minister Frances Pierre, a native of Rochester, New York. She's recognized for her call to ministry as a young girl, and I'll let her share her story, how that call came to be, because it's a really interesting and heartfelt story. But coming from a family of preachers, Frances began to learn from God what an intercessor was. Following after her grandmother, Bishop A.B. Gray, she began street ministry. She started preaching at John Marshall High School in 1988 on the front lawn during Desert Storm, and then she began as a youth minister at Powerhouse D-O-G-I-C. She continued to preach the gospel through the years on the streets, in mental health institutions, jails and prisons, and homeless shelters. Although she experienced tragedies and setbacks, she came out victorious. And she's in ministry at Herald of His Coming, Church of God in Christ, under pastor and evangelist Ronald Sewell. So she's doing so many great things and doing ministry where it is so needed in the community out there. And she, in 2003, she moved to St. Mary's, Georgia, where she administered the Word of God under the tutelage of Dr. Charles D. Buck, who is founder and pastor of New Wave of Glory Christian Church, where she received a full impartation from Dr. Buck. Her prophetic voice became a part of her ministry to leaders and their followers. God uses her demonstratively to present the word to his leaders. She continues to use her talents by speaking weekly for Sisters with a Testimony, hosted by Regina Jackson Pinks. And in 2008, she received her license in ministry from New Wave of Glory Christian Center and enhanced her gift as a speaker, motivator, and intercessor. Frances spearheaded a hygiene basket ministry called Project Cleanup in Southeast Georgia and Northeast Florida. She speaks to young girls and boys that were victims of physical, mental, and sexual abuse. She counsels adults with post-trauma who have a hard time moving forward. And she is the CEO and founder of Power of One Radio, where she also does a weekly program. I love her motto. Frances's motto is, making your dreams come true starts when making someone else's come true first. So I want to welcome Minister Frances. I want to welcome you. And, you know, just even thinking about your motto and just kind of give us a little bit, you know, I've kind of given you the technical bio of who you are. But if you take a moment and just kind of share who you are and maybe kind of how you, your story in terms of ministry and where you are.
Well, thank you once again for having me on. I'm truly honored. Well, let's go back a little bit to me being a little girl. That's when I understood what the supernatural was. My mother had sent my sister and myself to bed, and we went to bed, but I woke up in the attic. But when I woke up in the attic, I was in a different place, but I recognized it was the attic of the house. And that's when Jesus actually came and touched me. You know, I knew who he was, and he touched me and on my head, and he prayed for me. And then after that happened, I ran downstairs because everything just went back to being just the attic. It was no more, because what I really want to say is I was enveloped in glory, actually. That's what was there, but I knew I was in the attic. And once that all left, I ran down the stairs and told my mother that Jesus was in the attic. And that brings on a whole other story. But, you know, we'll leave it there, because mom was going to go and find out who Jesus was at that point, okay? So, you know, that really let me know about the supernatural, opened me up to the supernatural. You know, and then down through the years, so many different instances, as well as, and I heard you say, I'm not under Pastor Sewell anymore. That was years ago when I lived in Virginia. I am now under the mentorship of Rabbi Hanan Josue. I've haven't been in Virginia in a very long time, but that's just, yeah. You know, different steps to, you know, how I've got to where I am now. So with that being said, I want to talk a little bit about Power of One, because that's very near and dear to my heart, because I was actually on a conference call, and they had me speak every Friday, and so I had gotten this message, and it was called The Power of One, and it had come from Genesis, the 11th chapter, and I just, you know, was speaking, you know, just like any time I speak, and the message was called Power of One, and that was that. Months later, not even months, almost a year later, I had started doing a ministry out of Australia. I was a speaker in a ministry out of Australia, and I didn't have a message to, you know, come up with a message, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, Power of One, and I'm like, okay, I've heard this before, not knowing or even realizing I had this message already written down.
Yeah.
And so I went back in my archives, and I'm like, oh, wow, Power of One, isn't that something? It's got the everything there that I need to say. And it was just a trip. And then God began to speak to me about this ministry. It's not just radio. The radio is just another platform for Power of One. Power of One is a platform, and it's not just radio, but it's a platform for people to come together, mm-hmm. and march to the drumbeat of one. And that's the drumbeat of God. And one of the things that I say is that when we have the same language, the same mindset, the same speech, the same agenda, which is God's agenda, nothing shall be restrained from us, because that's what he told, that's what he was saying in Genesis. He said, these people are as one, and that lets us know we need to be as one. When we come together as one, there's nothing that can stop us, nothing can restrain us, nothing can hold us back, because when we come together as one, collectively, we can do great things. Collectively, we can do damage, but collectively, we can also do great things, and we want to do constructive things in the kingdom. We want to do constructive things in the marketplace, and so that's where Power of One comes from, and that's what Power of One is about. It's not about, you know, and one of the things, and I'm going to, you know, release it back to you so you can finish asking your questions. I'm sorry. I'm talking. One of the things that that gets me, and I believe this is why God kind of was, you know, uses me for this. You know, it starts with branding. When we talk about branding, you know, it just really turns my stomach, because we look at people, they brand themselves, and you should, and you should. Every company, every entity should have a brand. Yes, you should. However, the thing comes in where, or the problem comes in where you're so branded to nobody else can come in, or you're so branded that you give nobody else their dues, or you're so branded to where it's just you. You know what I mean? And so, and the way I see it is that you can still have your own brand. But why can't we, you know, combine these brands together? You know, and I'm not saying that we're all, you know, yes, I am. We're all one. We're all one. You can still be Dr. Holly Major. You could still be Dr. Holly Major, but you don't have to be Dr. Holly Major at my detriment. You get what I'm saying? You don't have, it doesn't have to be that way. We can still have our own brands. We can still have our own companies, but we don't have to do it and talk bad about the next one or not recognize the next one. It's almost like, you know, how they say you know, sisters always got something bad to say about each other, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. And what's crazy and what's sad is that this is happening in the kingdom, or excuse me, it's happening in the church, because
yeah.
the kingdom don't operate
yeah.
like that. The kingdom don't
yeah.
operate like that. And, you know, if you look in the workplace, if you look in the marketplace, Coke and Pepsi, they don't have that kind of issue. They don't have that kind of issue, because guess what? They can go in the same store and be bought at the same store, sitting right beside each other, and not have an issue. Either you like Coke or you like Pepsi, but you can come into the same store and get both of us. And that's what, and that's
yeah.
the problem that we have. We do not want to share a platform, and that's what Power of One about is about. We're about a shared platform where you can come and get A, B, C, or D. You don't have to be exclusively, you know, a Coke drinker, but you can drink Coke and Pepsi here.
Yeah.
Okay. I got excited when you talk about Power of One. I just go in, honey.
But it's such a great analogy, and, you know, and so many people now are getting this entrepreneurial spirit and are looking and trying to figure out, how does this branding work, and how do I set myself apart, and, you know, and sometimes we get to the point where we have to realize that the pot is big enough for all of us, and that and everybody's
right. going
to have their uniqueness or their style that is going to add some advantage. You know, we can't operate as an island in terms of,
that's
you know,
right.
Coke and Pepsi are very successful companies, and you even have some little generic ones that are seeing some success, too, even with the two top players there. And, you know, when we're talking about a movement and talking about making change and impacting lives, it really takes more than one to be able to do that. So the power of one, I mean, just that those few words is such a strong statement in terms of how we not only need to live our lives professionally, but even personally. It goes back to that whole "it takes a village" type
that's
mentality,
right.
and to looking at even things outside of just the family, you know. So
right.
I think it's great, the analogy in terms of branding, because I know a lot of our viewers are entrepreneurs and, you know, aspiring or emerging leaders, and you know, you get this mindset where it has to be cutthroat and there's only one seat at the top and, you know, I got to pull you down. So I think of the game Musical Chairs. You know,
yes.
somebody's always going to lose a seat. So, and we have that mentality oftentimes when we're in business, even sometimes, like you said, even sometimes in the church, you see some of that behavior happening too.
Yes.
There's only one deacon seat. Who's going to get it? You know, so
yes.
it is powerful when people.
And
need
even
to make
with
a
musical
mindset.
Chairs, and even
mm-hmm.
with musical chairs, I just thought about that. Have you ever noticed in musical chairs, it's always at the end when the music stops up, there's two people sitting in one seat, and neither one
yes.
of them want to push each other off the seat, but they're both sitting there, and that lets you know that there is room for everybody who wants to be in you know, there. But
yeah.
somebody has to be willing to share. And the thing of it is,
yeah.
we're so wanting to hog the spotlight. But when that light gets on you, sometimes you may fade or fizzle because that light is hot. And what comes, you know, what comes with that light, a lot of people cannot deal with. And sometimes it's better to share that spotlight.
Mm-hmm. and
you
so
know,
much more that you can bring an impact. Because you can
yes.
feed off of each other and bring so much more value to whoever that is that they're learning and growing and watching. You know,
exactly.
Our children are watching how we behave. And
you know, Dr. Holly, another thing is this. You know, the Bible says that God says in the book of Genesis, you know, man, I'm going to put it in my own terms. Man's not meant to be alone. You know, he's not meant
no,
to be alone.
He's not.
And so.
Nope.
You know, and so what did he do? He put Adam to sleep, and he extracted a woman out of him, because we're all the seed-bearing fruits of our own kind. And so, you know, if we're not meant to be alone in our personal life, in our intimate life, then we're not meant to be alone in our professional life. Because it takes more than just you to become a professional. It takes more than just you to get out in the marketplace. It takes more than you to be an intimate, close, relational people. And it's when we become divided and when we become this independent being that we think that we ought to be, that's where the trouble comes in, because we're not meant to be alone. God extracted, you know, another human being out of one. When I say a human being, he extracted a woman out of a man. So God will, you know, in your professional life, God extracts out of you what it's going to take, you know, to help you go further. And what I mean by extract, I don't mean your own ideas. I mean another person to help you. Every time a person is born, whatever is in you to get you to where God has ordained for you to go, God has pulled out of you, and for you to meet it at that destination at some point in time. Okay.
Yes. And that's so true. And I know a lot of that, because one of the things that we wanted to touch point on is the frustrated and tired leader. And oftentimes those behaviors happen because we try to do it all by ourselves and we don't look for that support and we don't support and encourage others. And how that kind of, you know, if you take that notion, so if you want to share some ideas and some thoughts in terms of when you're talking about the frustrated and tired leader and how this all kind of impacts us as a leader today and tomorrow.
Right. Well, okay, here we go. The frustrated and tired leader. Okay. I'm using biblical references here. In the book of Exodus 17 and 6, and I'm going to turn there and I'm just going to read just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Exodus 17 and 6. Let me start at 4. Moses cried out to God, "What am I to do with these people? They're ready to stone me." God answered Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and bring with you leaders of Israel. Take your staff in your hand, the one you use to strike the river, and go. I will stand in front of you there on the rock of Horeb. You are to strike the rock, and the water will come out of it so the people can drink." Now, what happens here is that these people that Moses was leading, they were thirsty, and they began to get on Moses' nerves. They stressed him out. But let's go back before then. These same people were, when he brought them all the way to the Red Sea, and they were, you know, they had the Red Sea before them, and they had the enemy behind them. And so they were like stuck like a rock in a hard place. They had no place to go. And so they began to murmur and complain. They begin to complain, and so Moses had to ask God, you know, what am I to do? Because these people, because of the people, they were complaining. They were at the point of complaining. They did not trust again. They had just been God had just allowed them to be able to go and worship him. When Moses had went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," God said to let my people go so that they may worship me. And so that was able to happen. But then this same Pharaoh, once they begin to worship the God that they served, he made the work a lot more hard for them. He instructed the people to go and get their own straw and have to do this and have to do that. He doubled their work. And so they begin to look at Moses and they begin to tell him off and say, "If it wasn't for you, this, and if it wasn't for you, that," you know. And so now they find themselves at the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, they had no escape. It was nowhere to go, but the enemy was afoot. And so they begin to complain, you know, "We were better off there. We were better. You should have just left us there to die, Moses." And so Moses lifts his staff, and the sea is parted, and they're able to move on their way. And so now here they are again. They're thirsty, and they're hungry, and they begin to complain again. Here go these same people. that
same people.
He took from one place to another. They wanted to worship their God. They cried out to God, and God sent them a leader, and he sent them a leader by the name of Moses. And here is Moses, who had all these things to happen in his life. He was a murderer, so sometimes, you know, and he had to deal with his murderous self. So he had to deal with that. He had to deal with, he was raised in Egypt, but he was really Israeli. You know, he had to deal with that. He had to deal with all these things, and now he has to deal with some people who just won't stop complaining. That can be very stressful. Because not only are you dealing with your own life, your own stresses, and your own stressors, but you're taking on all these people. And I believe it was something like 2 million people he had to lead. That's very stressful. And so now, here we go. They're thirsty. And so Moses, he follows the instructions of God, and he strikes the rock, and water gushes out. Water gushes out. But now I want to fast forward, and I'm going real fast because we're running out of time. And so we want to fast forward over into Numbers, the 20th chapter, and I believe it starts around the 11th verse. But I'll just go ahead and I'll tell you what happens. And so right here in the book of Numbers, now all of those people had died. Those were the parents and the grandparents and the great-grandparents that Moses dealt with then. But now here in the book of Numbers, he's dealing with the children and the children's children. He's dealing with them folk. These are people who are far more advanced than the people he dealt with before. Okay? And so here we are. The people are thirsty again. They want me, and Moses said, God, look, they want to kill me. They want to stone me because they are thirsty. What am I to do? What am I to do? And God tells him, he gives him a specific instruction. He says, this is what you do. You now speak to the rock so the people can get them something to drink. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing because I want to hurry up and get done.
Yes,
and so now he says, speak to the rock. And so now here is Moses. He's faced with following an instruction, and he's faced with pleasing the people. Because the people already know from their forefathers that he struck the rock and water came out, because those were the kind of stories they told back then. And so now God instructs him to speak to the rock. And so here is Moses at the rock, and he does not speak to the rock, but he strikes the rock again. What Moses does, he uses an old technology to please a present people. And a lot of times what happens as a leader, when you're tired and when you're frustrated and when you're stressed out because of the people, what happens is you use old technology. What would happen right now as a leader, if you go back to using typewriters, it's not going to work. If you go back to using typewriters and typing this up and let's get this out to a mass of people and let's use mailers, you know, and I'm not going to say it's not going to hit about 3% of the people, but if you want to get about 30% of the people, you want to get on Facebook and Instagram and all these other things. But what happened, Moses was tired and he was frustrated, so he used old technology. How many times and how many leaders are out there that are tired and frustrated and stressed out because of the people, and now they don't listen to the voice of God anymore, because God can instruct you even in the marketplace. He can instruct you on the technology to use, but you're so bent on pleasing the people because they know what you did before, and so you reach back to an old technology in a present world, and it's not going to work. And so I would admonish every leader that's out there that's listening now, that will listen later, that you need to upgrade and update yourself, and do not be led astray by the voice of the people. Do not allow people to intimidate you so in no kind of way that you do not listen to God and fall back into an old technology. And I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is so true. How
And even though time and time again, when God spoke to him and he did what God said came to be. And then
that's right.
Even knowing that and having that knowledge, and because it wasn't even about faith anymore, there was proof in terms
that's
of
right.
what he was told and what he did two times before. And then again, just those pressures. Sometimes you know what is the right thing to do, but you
that's
can
right.
be influenced. And influence can be good and it can be bad, and it can cause us to do things that we really, our heart isn't there. And, you know, there's
yeah.
so many ethical things that are taking place in businesses and churches and communities. And a lot of it is people know what the right thing is, but they're being influenced by people and by things. People nowadays, people are being influenced by things. So
mm-hmm.
it is so key in terms of, and I like, you know, you need to upgrade and update yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And I
you
think
do.
Everybody that's been a leader at some point has experienced some level of frustration or a feeling of being tired and ready to throw up your hands or give in. I mean, even as a parent, as a leader of your home, we become frustrated and tired when our children are wanting to do things that we don't agree with or that we don't think is in their best interest. Because even if you're not a leader of a company, we all are leading something that we have to make important decisions. And it could be our household and our family that we need to lead, and we need to be strong, and we need to be rested, and we need to listen.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So
and, you know, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I talked enough.
No, I know we have a couple minutes, and I wanted to give you a quick minute to talk about your new program coming up, Select Elect.
Yes, Select Elect. Oh, that's powered by Power of One, of course. And Select Elect, what that is, it's another platform for speakers, authors, musicians, teachers of the word. And it's not just, you know, quote-unquote church, you know, but, you know, it's a platform for speakers to come and actually get some work. Because there are so, I mean, and I'm just being honest, there are so many platforms on here, and I could start naming a few, but I'd rather not do that. That would be wrong. That, you know, you pay this money, and you're just known for being on that board or, you know, being licensed by that, you know, entity. But what Select Elect is, it's a platform for you to get out and work. Get out and speak, get out and teach, get out and go play your music. You know, it's that kind of platform. And it's also a platform for events to, you know, come and select a speaker, a teacher, a musician. It's that kind of platform. So it's twofold. Yes, go ahead.
Do you have a website that you can, we have about 90 seconds, do you have a website that you can share with everybody to contact you regarding the Power of One or Select Elect?
The Power of One right now is up and running. Select Elect is actually in process right now, but you can, any type of emails or anything you want to send it, you can contact over at www.powerof-1one.com, or you can contact us at contact@select-elect.com, and you can contact us that way. And once again, like I said, it's a platform for speakers as well as events, churches. Just contact us, and you know, we're not dealing with people that don't know nothing. We're dealing with some very, you know, select people. That's the
right.
best way to say it.
So,
we're dealing with some very select people.
Great. So I want to thank you. I know we have about 20 seconds. I want to thank you, Minister Francis, for joining us this evening. I look forward to doing some additional work with you in the future. I want to thank our
yes.
viewers, and I want to say tune in on the third Wednesday to Tax Into Position Radio with your host, Dr. Ramona Holly Major.
Thanks again for having me.
Thank you. That 30 seconds goes so fast, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But I want to thank you so much, and I want to look forward to, and I know maybe once you have the select site up running, maybe you can come and share some information on that initiative, because I know a lot of people are looking for speaking opportunities to do things, so that could be a nice opportunity to share that platform and what opportunities are there, either in terms of being a part of it or being as a speaker or looking for speakers.
Yes. I'd love to come back.
So thank you so much, and you have a great evening.
You
too. Have a good evening. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.